What a blessing as we gather to worship Jesus, the King, the Lord. And Lord, it's because of him that joy can rise up in our hearts in such a season, in such a challenge that our world is in, that we as children of yours and individuals and families, oh Lord, meet us, remind us this morning in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of difficulty and challenges, in the midst of betrayal and confusion, chaos really, you are there. You are extending yourself. And that's what Christmas is all about. Thank you for this opportunity in this hour to be redirected to you, the hope for our life here, the hope and assurance of life after we pass through this earth. So settle our hearts. May they be open to you, and Lord, may we already say yes to whatever encouragement, whatever profit your word gives to us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Well, Merry Christmas. Open arms. Thank you. And to our guests, our new friends this morning, we're so glad that you are here. Our fifth and sixth graders, you can leave for your class now as well. Half the place is leaving, and I see some 20-year-olds leaving for that class. If you have your Bibles this morning, open up to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the text we'll be looking at this Christmas Eve morning is found in your program as well. It's a story of a farmer, and it was an evening like we had last night. The snow began to come. It was pretty cold, but the wind was still. And all of a sudden, he's in his farmhouse, and he hears splat, splat. He goes, what is that sound? And he noticed it was coming from his living room window, and he couldn't understand what the sound was. And he peered out the window, and he saw swallows who were attracted to the warmth of the light and the fireplace in his house, coming towards it and hitting the window. He was filled with compassion. He bundled up, went out to his barn, and he took a lamp that he would often use when his cows had calves and set up some hay in a corner, and he put up that lamp, and then he beckoned the swallows to come. They wouldn't come. He grabbed some saltine crackers and made a little trail that they might come, and they wouldn't come. They stayed outside, stayed in the darkness. And he went outside and tried to shoo them in, and they just flew farther in the opposite direction. They didn't understand that he was trying to rescue them, that he was trying to help them. And he thought to himself, oh, if just for a minute I could become a bird, a swallow, and speak their language and say, here's help, here's a warm place, here's rescue. And all of a sudden, it came to him, as it's probably come to you right now. That's Christmas. That is Christmas. We, raised, growing up, at some point in our life, we see warmth, we see light. Oh, the promise of shelter, the promise of help. I'm sapped of energy and strength. I'll take a risk. And all of those lights, all of what promises warmth and peace, fall short. And we keep hitting walls. We keep hitting window panes, thinking what's just beyond that is what I really need. And whatever we've attempted comes up short. And God has watched. God has seen. God, who is our Creator, our Heavenly Father, said, if only but for a moment, I could become one of them and tell them, don't run from me. I am the true light. I am the pure light. I will give you what you really need. But then he didn't have to just imagine and wonder. That's what Christmas is all about. He did it. God, everlasting from everlasting, looking upon those whom he created in his own image, seeing the chaos, the turmoil, the brokenness of our lives and our society, became one of us to rescue us, to speak truth to us, and say, follow me. Here is a true light. Here is a genuine light. Here's what you need. And yet, in those 2,000 years, from the first generation unto us, the great majority reject. We're fearful. We're ignorant. We don't believe. We might hear a whisper and say, that can't be true. Oh, we misunderstand. Oh, he's come not to provide rescue and warmth and help and sustenance. No, he's come to swat at me and take me out. And that's just not true. And this morning, as we look at the Gospel of John, it's a little bit different than Matthew and Luke, which introduced to us in their first chapter the baby Jesus. We were here last night, and many of you are back, and we were singing songs that speak about the baby Jesus. How beautiful to remember. And God would say, I want you to remember this morning, John would say to us in his gospel, the mighty God, the everlasting Jesus, who made a decision to come. And even though he knew the great majority would reject, he says, but after generation and after generation and after generation, many would receive, many would believe, many would accept my rescue. So I'll read out loud, and then take a look at this scripture. And I want us to come back in a few moments, just look at four ideas, four thoughts from this text that might help us. Many in this room have come to a place of receiving and believing. And the Spirit of God, the very presence of God, the joy that we just spoke about, the hope that is needed, peace has entered your life. The guilt that weighed you down, the regrets that kind of yell and scream and call to us are diminished because of the promise of Christ to be the peacemaker between us and the Father, and also to have us exhale and say, you are forgiven. Forgive yourself. Forgive those who have sinned against you. Receive the forgiveness of others who have sinned against you. So John would write, John 1, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at those first three verses. Did you see it? In the beginning, the Word was there in the beginning. The Word is a name for Jesus. As you and I read the scriptures, there's many names that describe him. But I love this. We use words to communicate, whether we type them or we text them or we speak them. God is saying, I want to communicate to you. So I became one of you. You see, the Bible says God is spirit. But the incarnation, the incredible miracle, is God became a human being, still fully God and still fully man. Only he could do that in order to speak a message to us that we needed to hear. The prophet spoke it, but it wasn't as clear until he came and the word himself spoke it. But he was there in the beginning. Well, how far is that, John? In the beginning. Well, give me a number. In the beginning. In the beginning. You see, God wasn't created. Jesus didn't begin his existence and his life some 2,000 years ago. Jesus was there in the beginning. Why? Notice what it says. He was with God. He is God. He was there in the beginning. And notice what he did. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wait a minute. So, you know, if I'm going to believe what the Bible says in the beginning, the book of Genesis, but it says God created, God spoke, and things were created. But now you're saying Jesus created. First of all, I'm not saying anything. I'm just reading the scripture. God says it. I agree. God wants you to agree. He wants you to understand the vastness, the awesomeness, the might of Jesus. Yeah, we are awed, and it's wondrous that such a one would become a baby, an infant, and be so vulnerable in such a humble way to a woman who wasn't yet married, who was a teenage girl, and that this man she was betrothed to was willing to say, I'll stick with her and not put her away and deal with all the naysayers to fulfill God's purpose. But that wasn't his start. He had always existed. For he was God. I'm going to read a few verses from Genesis. The language will sound familiar. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 26 says this, then God said, bara, he spoke, and things were appeared out of nothing. He didn't take something or take something that something else had made, or he didn't reach out to the galaxies and said, oh, this is nice. I can use that. I can use these minerals. No, he created. He spoke, and it was created out of nothing. God did that. Everything that you and I have today, use today, wear today, work with today, is given to us by God. We've taken it from what he created, and we use it. And in our ingenuity and in our vast minds are incredible and imaginative in what we've created. But all of it is taken from what God created, what Jesus created. I love this in verse 26 of Genesis 1. Then God said, let us, what? There's a plurality here. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God created us in his image. And that's where the next verse he talks about. And he's the one who's given us life. We're different than the beast. There are emotions that we feel. There's a consciousness towards God, a morality. It's ingrained in us and being part of God, being created in his image. He says, you're different. I've given you these because you're in my image. Oh, you're far from living it out perfectly because of your rebellion against me. You don't want a king. You don't want a savior because you want to acknowledge that you're in rebellion against me until we do. And that's where Christ has come to rescue us. So the first thought this Christmas, in the busyness, in the hurriedness, in the many things that you might be thinking about right now, that might be happening an hour from now, stop and be awed by him. Don't just think about the baby. Think about this mighty God, this awesome God, who has appeared, has come for a very particular reason, for you and I to have peace with the Father. And a hope for this life and an assurance for eternal life. He secured it all. He did. Secondly, in the next set of verses, we see the word light and life come up quite a bit. In him was life, real life, the all-encompassing life. And the life was the light of men, that which enables us to really see, if we're willing. And that's what's true about light, right? Unless we want the light, we won't come. We'll reject the light. We love dim lights. And it could be a personal preference thing. In our home, we are different in a lot of ways, my wife and I. She likes every light on, as bright as can be. I like them lower. And so we work it out. Almost 32 years. The same with the heat. We work it out. But there's something about the light that Jesus is and that he gives. Pure light, genuine light, the fullness of light shows us what's really there. Too often we don't want to come to that light because it penetrates and shows things that we don't want to receive, that we don't want to see and have it cleaned out and cleaned up. Maybe we're not ready, or maybe we don't understand the illness, the sickness, the hurt, the pain that comes from whatever that light would expose. Jesus exposes it to tell us that's the root of the problem. That's where the decay starts. I let you see it because I'm going to root it out. I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to get in deep and get the roots. And unless we're ready for that, I like my little 25-watt bulb. I want to live in that world. That world is always painful, and it's shallow. And we never move forward, and we never move on. Because this light in verse 5 shines in the darkness. And the darkness doesn't overcome it, doesn't regard it, doesn't get it, doesn't understand it, and cannot squelch it. But not for lack of trying. For 2,000 years, society and mankind has tried to put out that true, genuine, penetrating light that shines in the darkness. And then we see that God sent an emissary, sent an ambassador, he sent one to say, the time has come. The prophets had spoken about this one that was to come. And then God gave him one last chance, some 400 years before the birth of Christ, and said, turn to me, turn to me, turn your hearts to me. And they said, no. And he stopped speaking to them until this John came, John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. And just a few weeks ago, we saw how his birth was miraculous. His mom was barren well into her later years, but God said, I'm going to give her a child, and that child is going to be the forerunner. He's going to be the witness, the testifier. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And who is this light? The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. See, he was a lamp. That's all John was. Jesus is the light, the bright light that shines everywhere. And he's the true light, the hope, the help, the forgiveness, the cleansing, the assurance of eternal life, the help for this life, all comes through Christ. That's why he came. Because we all need it, whether we recognize it or not. And internally, we all want it. We're created to worship. We're created with that hope for an everlasting and being created in the image of God. And God says, and there is many out there, there's many things that are fake or partial truth. And he goes, and that won't cut it. There's one true light who will penetrate that darkness and show you who he is. And you don't have to work to get what he offers. You just need to believe. You need to receive what he offers on his terms. Hands down, surrendered, and say, here, I come by faith alone on your terms. That's the wonder of this Christ. Thirdly, we see that. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. It didn't recognize or accept who he truly was. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That could be all of mankind, but very particularly the very Jewish people of which he was, fulfilling the Old Testament prophets of the coming Messiah. And even before that time and on through that time, there are many religions, many irreligious, who just won't receive him. But notice, verse 12, but to all who did, and this can be every single person in this room, there is an offer, there is an invitation, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, in other words, that name which says he has the authority from God, his Father, as Lord and Savior, the name Jesus, coming from Joshua, Yeshua in Hebrew, literally means God's salvation. The only way. He gave the right to become children of God. You see, we just read that every single one of us is uniquely created in the image of God. Every single person. That's why every single person who may see things differently than you, be from a culture different than you, ethnicity, a social place, an education place, has great dignity, value, and worth. And you might not believe the same thing socially, morally, culturally, politically, beyond opposite spectrums. But that individual has value and dignity because they're created in the image of God. That is very important to God. You see, every one of us is born in rebellion against God. You can say, I've always known God. I understand you may have been very religious, but no, you have not always known God and loved God. Not because I want to offend you, but God says that's not true, or I, Jesus, would not have had to come or would not have gone to that cross to bear your rebellion, your sin against me. So we said every single person is of worth and dignity. And he goes, every one of you has a hardened heart towards me, a blindness towards me and to truth. But that's why Jesus came, the true light, the penetrating light, to show us those things. And he says, then you can exhale. Because I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He goes, I'm the bridge. You've built your bridges. You explode bridges. You knock down every bridge. He says, I'm the bridge. You didn't build me. I came down. I built the way, going directly to that cross, paying a cost, a full cost, my very life, so you wouldn't have to pay a cost except to believe and to receive. And that means surrender. Whatever we think is right, whatever that light has shown in our hearts and say, we know God to be pure and holy. And this, how I live and how I think and what we know, I know it's not. I'm willing for him to change that. I've tried. I've attempted. hasn't really happened. It's my go-to, it's my default. But I surrender. Lord, I believe you. If there's anything that offends you in my life, change it. Pull it out. I'll agree with you. I'll follow you. I need your help because it owns me. I claim it doesn't, but it does. So I keep going back. I see the damage. I see the ripple effect. I pretend it's not there. Why? Because I'm living with a 25-watt lie. But if I let you really show me the effect, but I'm trusting you that you'll rescue me. And that's why you came at Christmas. Notice what he says. He gives a right to become children of God. There's a difference between one of God's creations and one of God's children. Like all of you. Many of you were fellow creations of God. But I've got two children. They're different. My feelings towards them, my emotion towards them is different. God says, I love every single one that I've created. I love them. I love them so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Those who receive and believe Jesus for their eternal life and for their forgiveness of sin, I give you the right to become my child. I adopt you. I adopt you. I've been knocking on the door of your heart. I've been knocking. And it could be today that you open the door. Come in, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I receive you, Jesus. That's God's gift, his mercy, that you could even hear. And you're willing, even now, to surrender and let him lead as the Lord that he is. So we're told in verse 13, the one who are children of God, they're not born of blood. It's not our heritage. It's not our family background. You can come from a family that went to church, that would say, we have the right religion. That's awesome. That's great. I trust it is biblical Christianity. A lot of religions claim Christ in some form or shape, but it's not biblical. It's turned and it's twisted some. Biblical Christianity comes right out of Scripture. Doesn't matter the poor background, the irreligious background, or the pious, holy, great background that any of us come from. You are not a believer. You are not a child of God until you, individual, created in the image of God, hear the knock of God on your heart and says, I'm calling you today. I love you today. I went to that cross for you 2,000 years ago, but today is your day. Trust me. Receive me. Believe on me. Wow. We want our independence, right? We want independence from mama and papa. And he goes, and Jesus says, you bet. And so whether you're 5, 15, 25, or 85, you have it to make this commitment, this decision. If you will respond. So he says, it's not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, which simply means you can have some outstanding godly people praying for you, sharing with you, beckoning, begging in a good way or a bad way for you to become a follower of Christ. Their earnestness and their seriousness cannot make you a Christian. Doesn't happen. Nor what? Notice, nor the will of man is the third category. It's not by self-determination. You may have heard these words or similar words many, many times, and you have said to yourself, yeah, not today. I've got my plan. I'm driving in my lane, but one day I will, not according to Scripture, nor the will of man. You don't know if you will ever have another opportunity. But God says, in that moment and in that time when I'm knocking, it's a divine knock, it's a divine calling, that's your opportunity. And then it says, but you're what? You're born of God. None of us gave physical birth to ourselves. Somebody gave birth to us, physical birth. This, what God is describing here, is spiritual birth. That will last forever in all eternity with Him. And He says, you cannot make yourself born spiritually. Your pastor, your priest, your rabbi, your imam, your Hindu leader, your own philosophy cannot take what that which is dead, our spirit, and make it come alive through effort, through readings, through good works. He says it's impossible. But God says, I will give you new birth, spiritual birth. I will make you born again. You had a first birth, it was physical. I give you a second birth, it's spiritual. You ever heard that term, born again? That's what it means. You had a first birth, you got to be born again. Spiritual. Well, I was in church, they did this thing. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that gives you spiritual birth. It says it right here. You're born of God. How? But to all who did receive Him, going back to verse 12, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So let me ask you these questions. When was the last time that Jesus took your breath away? Where you just reflected on Him. Maybe reading the Scripture and you just stepped back and you just pondered and just closed your eyes, or you put on music and just, He loves you. And if He's your Savior, He's with you. And He is for you. And He's your helper. And He's going to uplift you. Secondly, where do you need genuine light to shine in a dark place in your life right now? You've been spinning. It's hopeless. You're scared. You're fearful. You don't know what's around the corner, but it seems really scary. Jesus is the true light who penetrates that darkness and will show you, and He will help you, and He will guide you through the maze of whatever that is, and promises to be with you through that journey, to never leave you nor forsake you. The third question from verses 10 through 13, Jesus is to be personally received and believed on. If that has not been a commitment you've made, what hinders you? Sincerely, what hinders you from believing on and receiving this Jesus, this mighty God, this Savior? And if you can honestly bring that to God, God, here it is. This is what's true. And then say to Him, would you help break down that hindrance, Lord? Show me what I need to see. Help me to understand what I need to understand that I haven't to this point, so that I can come running to this light and let no wall, let no hindrance stop me. Because I'm going to, by faith, just keep running to the light, running to Christ, and to receive Him by faith. And I'm believing He's the one that I need. Jesus became human so God could be known personally. We see that in verse 14. The Word became flesh. He lived amongst us. If you're a follower of Him, He lives in you by His Spirit. And we've seen His glory, the Father's glory, through Jesus, the Son, because Jesus is full of grace and truth. What He offers is unmerited favor. And He's always telling the truth. An auctioneer had just finished his day, a very successful day. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of goods were sold, in particular, musical instruments that day. He noticed as he was about to close up for the afternoon, a violin in the corner. He hadn't seen it before. It was actually quite splintered, spotted, blemished. It appeared soot was all over it. He had a quick conversation with the auction house owner and said, yes, we're going to sell that. Start at $50. And so he said, see this violin? Don't know much about it, but who will take it for $50? No hand raised. Who will take it for $40? No hand raised. Who will take it for $30? A hand raised. 30 going once, 30 going twice. And as he was saying that, a very elderly gentleman got up from his seat, walked to the platform, took that violin in his hands, didn't tune it, but just started to play. A beautiful melody. He played with passion, artistry, skill, and he kept playing for 10, 12 minutes. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. He put it down. He walked to his seat. The auctioneer had tears streaming down his face. And he said, who will take this violin for $100? Dozens and dozens of hands went up. $200, dozens and dozens. $300, dozens and dozens, until the final call for $3,100 for that violin. And as the person was walking up to take possession of the violin, a young boy screamed out, what? What makes it so much more valuable now than just a little while ago? And the auctioneer said, the touch of the master's hand. When Jesus touches you, when he enters your life, when you receive him by faith alone, the bruises, the splinters, the soot, that which you have convinced yourself makes you invaluable, and maybe others have told you you're not so valuable, he changes that immediately. Because with him as your master, as your Lord, as your Savior, this is how much you're worth to me. I died for you. I love you this much. And it doesn't matter what you feel about yourself. I want to change that. It doesn't matter what others say. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your present estate. But when I touch you, and I've got you, and you're mine, we're on a different journey. And the music that I'm going to make in and through your life, if it doesn't bless others, oh, let me tell you, it blesses my Heavenly Father. There's nothing more beautiful. And it's because you came to the light, the true light, the genuine light, Jesus. And you said, I believe and I receive. Let's pray. Lord, this Christmas, thank you for encouraging us to consider this Jesus. The same as the babe, but Lord, the pre-existent one, the mighty one, the powerful one, the one who loved us so much, we needed him so much, and offers us so much, says, I came for you. I died for you. I rose to prove your life can be resurrected, be changed from the inside out. I'll shave down those splinters and those edges. I'll shine you up, but your perfection doesn't ever happen here on this earth. God sees you as a treasure and as a vessel that he loves. That's why I came for you. So Lord, I think our prayer here in this place is that if there's anyone who has not yet believed on Christ, today would be the day that this truth that Jesus, of who he is and what he's proclaimed, would not be received in vain and in empty, but you would purpose the truth of what you're saying to a heart today would change them forever. Adopted as they become your child. Jesus, in your name we pray. Thank you. Amen.